good to be with you again, and just as we spend time this morning in God's Word, I wanted to just pop that one up if we can find my. That's it. We've been in a series looking at our kingdom cultural values, and oh look, I'm receiving blessings from heaven if I stand here. Why not? And yes, I'm definitely. The one that we're looking at today is the value of family and unity. And we have just unpacked that to think about we are sons and daughters who belong, and we take responsibility to act with love, protecting our relationships, which is not always easy, but it is important. And it's something as a house we have worked hard to protect, and we are going to continue to do that. I want to give you a few moments this morning, first of all, to find somebody just before we go to the Word. I just want to think about what family is for a few moments. And I know we've all had earthly families. Some of those experiences have been good, some of them not so good. But I want to invite you to just find somebody close by. I don't want to make this difficult for anyone, so if you just need to sit and be quiet by yourself, that's okay as well. But I encourage you to just turn around and find somebody and take a few moments to answer these questions together. Please be focused. Don't talk about the weather, because we're really trying to press in to listening to God's heart for us this morning in these two areas. So I want to invite you to have just a brief conversation of what's the best example of family that you've either seen or experienced. Even if you didn't have a great family yourself, maybe you've seen one operating somewhere else. And what blessing or benefit comes from a healthy family? So can I just invite you to take a couple of moments and have that conversation with a couple of people around you. Off you go. I'm going to invite you to just call out a couple of things as we move forward now. What are some of the blessings or benefits that come from a healthy family? Just call them out. Coming to know Jesus. Many of us came to know Jesus or came to faith through our earthly families. Acceptance. Understanding the Father heart of God because you have an earthly father. Is that what you're saying, Christy? Okay, unconditional love. In a healthy family, you get to experience unconditional love just because you're part of the family. That's part of a healthy family. Anyone else with a safe place? Healthy values and belief systems that get taught in a healthy family. Generations that give to each other, maybe financially, maybe wisdom, maybe life experience. You get the things passed down the generations and the other way as well. Yes, older generations get to have someone who can work a computer or an iPhone. Learning to communicate. many blessings and benefits from being part of a healthy family. Now, the reality is I know that not everybody had a good experience of family. And for some people, the experience of family has been very, very painful even. So just before we explore what church family might look like, I actually want to take a moment and pray for anyone who hasn't experienced the blessings and the benefit of family, or for whom family brings up some painful or difficult thoughts. So can you just join with me as I pray? Heavenly Father, you are a really, really good Father. And you understand that for some people, there's pain in the word family, or in words like father or mother, or sisters or brothers. And so, Father, in any place where there's pain or hurt, any place where there was abuse or neglect or disappointment, grief or loss, disconnection, Holy Spirit, we're inviting you to come and bring healing and to bring a fresh model of what family is and can be. In Jesus' name. All right. I'm going to read from God's Word in Galatians now. And this is what Paul was writing to the believers who lived in Galatia. And he said to them, "For you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. For you are all one in Christ. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you." I want to give you just a little bit of context for what was happening when Paul was writing this. And then I want us to talk about three blessings that we get to participate in when we join the family of God through Jesus. So here we go. A little bit of context. We know that scripture starts with the big picture of God as creator. We know that the connection between God and humanity was broken when Adam and Eve sinned, but that God began to restore the blessing and the purpose that he had for humanity through the promise that he gave to one man, Abram. And he said, "Through your family line, I want to bless not just your family line, but all nations." Do you remember that? Genesis 12, all the way through. So here we have the Jewish nation that are the physical offspring of Abraham. And God's blessing was to come through, I will just put blessing here so you know that the blessing was promised to Abram and his offspring. And that was through the physical family line through to the Jewish nation. After that promise, after that covenant promise was made, we also see that the law was given. I'm going to draw here the two tablets of the Ten Commandments just to represent the law. And the Jewish nation became a nation who related to God through the law, by obeying the law. Does that make sense? That was how they worked out their relationship with God. Now, someone else was also a descendant of Abraham, a physical descendant of Abraham. Jesus was also a physical descendant of Abraham. And the blessing in Galatians, Paul says that the blessing that was promised to Abraham was promised to Abraham's seed, singular, not plural. So he's saying that the blessing promised to Abram was actually primarily promised to Jesus. And the problem with the Jewish nation was that they couldn't fulfill the law. Because Paul writes in Galatians, through the law, no one will be declared righteous before God. We can't do it. We can't get it right. The Jewish nation couldn't get it right. But Jesus perfectly fulfills the law. And now, coming into relationship with Jesus, actually, this is the line of blessing. This is the inheritance that comes from being part of the seed of Abram. And so the Jewish nation is invited to come in to Christ through trust. The interesting thing is, though, and the radical and slightly challenging thing was that there were some other people who were invited into Christ as well. Who was it? Yep, the nations. All the people who aren't Jews. They were invited to come in by the same method, trust, faith. And now, in Jesus, these two groups of people end up as one family. Whoops. Why? Because they both came in the same way. Does that make sense? And so here, Paul is reminding both Jewish believers and non-Jewish believers that once they put their trust in Jesus, they came in to become one family, not by obeying the law or not obeying the law, but because they were both in Christ. Have a look. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And look in verse 27, all who've been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. So there you go. He's making an argument to them. He's reminding them that the basis of their unity is not whether one group's obeyed the law and one group hasn't, or whether they're the same in their customs or their eating. In fact, these are radically, radically different groups of people. But he's saying that when you put your trust in Jesus and were baptized into him, you actually became one family. That's the basis of our unity. Not because we believe the same things about, you know, the world or politics or football teams or what matters. The basis of our unity is that we've been baptized into Christ and we've put him on and we belong to him. So I just wanted to take a few moments and explore three blessings that happen when we actually come into this one family that is the family of Jesus. Here are the three that I found just in this passage. I'm sure there's more. We get to be fathered by God. We get Jesus as our older brother. And we get new brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and sons and daughters. All right. Get to be fathered by God. Up till the time of Jesus, God was seen as remote, as unreachable, as fearsome. And Jesus comes and he begins to teach people, our Father who is in heaven. He began to speak of his Father and your Father, and he began to present God in a whole new light, God as a Father. Verse 26 says, we're all children of God. And then Paul goes on in the next chapter of Galatians, and he unpacks that even more, and he says, when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. Because we are his children, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Abba is like daddy. It's a word of intimacy. It's a word that says, I'm known by you and you're known by me, and we've got a completely different relationship from this God who's checking up whether I'm obeying the law or not. You and I are invited into Abba, Daddy, through Christ, just as because we have the Spirit of Christ that's been given to us. We're invited into intimacy and inheritance. We're told that since we're God's child, we're actually an heir. We get all the good things that come from being in the family. I don't know whether you've received any inheritance from being in a family. When we were buying our first house, this will make you laugh. We paid $32,500 for our first house. It's just mind-blowing, isn't it? But when my grandparents died, we received an inheritance of $5,000, the grandchildren. So that's a sixth of our house was paid for by the blessing of being in that family. Boy, think how much we would have missed out on if we didn't have a family inheritance. And the blessing that God wants to give you from being his child is far, far, far more than merely financial. God's inviting you to know him as your incredibly good father. Blessing number one, we get to be fathered by God when we're in Christ. Blessing number two, we get Jesus as our older brother. I don't know about you, but I didn't have an older brother and I always wanted one. Who had a good older brother? Did anybody have a good older brother? Okay. For me, there was a few blessings that I wanted from my older, like if I'd had an older brother, I thought would be good. One, that he could introduce me to his friends. And two, that he could teach me to drive. At least those things and maybe some others as well. But there's something about a good older brother. Somebody's watching out for you. Somebody has your back. Somebody treats you like their little sister or their little brother. Somebody delights in you. That's what an older brother gets to do. We get to become one with this older brother. The scripture says we're baptized or clothed with Christ. We get to look up to him. We get to learn from him. We get to become like him as our older brother. And there's a beautiful scripture in Hebrews that says that Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. Wow. Yeah, that's right. Wow. Were you ever embarrassed by a sibling? What about in the church life? Sometimes I feel a bit embarrassed by the way some believers behave, actually. But this scripture tells me that even when I behave, you know, not very well, Jesus is not ashamed to call me his sister. Wow, that's what happens in family, in healthy family. We get a relationship across the siblings. Now, I'm incredibly blessed. I have two sisters who I love dearly and we hang out and it's great. Like healthy family is great. Wow, what would it look like if that was our healthy family life with Jesus as our older brother? We get to belong. we get to know that we have a place in the family home. It's not like we're a visitor coming in. Sometimes we're welcome, sometimes we're not. Sometimes it's a bit awkward. Should I be here? Should I not? When you're a kid in the house and it's your house, you belong. The enemy loves to disqualify people. I'm not good enough. I don't fit here. I don't belong. Nobody really knows me. Nobody wants me. I'm just on the edges. There's lies that the enemy wants to use to keep people from belonging. But the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of family, is here to shift people from the edges into the family. And you can partner with that today, because that's what Jesus is doing. He's here to move people from the edges into the centre of family. The third thing. Actually, I just want to go back a sec and just say, if you've never said yes to Jesus, you can also do that today. Because saying yes to letting Jesus have your life, to trusting Jesus with your life, that is what brings you into the family. So I just want to invite anybody who's never made that step of saying yes to Jesus, that's what brings you in. When you do that, you actually come into that place of belonging. All right, and the third thing, we get to have a whole lot of new fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers and sons and daughters. Who's ever been encouraged, greatly strengthened in their Christian life by somebody in the church family? We've all needed that, haven't we? We've all needed that. God has set it up so that we are invited to treat each other like family, sisters, brothers, mothers, and fathers. Now, I don't know about you, but in my family growing up, there were plenty of sibling rivalries going on. There was clothes that were borrowed. There were things that were broken. There were annoying things that my siblings did. I had two older sisters, so I used to feel like I had three mothers. They just bossed me around. Another thing I remember from maybe watching TV with one of my sisters, and we couldn't agree on what channel to watch, so we had a massive hair-pulling fight on the lounge, on the lounge in our lounge room. My parents had to break up. You know, as wonderful as siblings are, sometimes they can just be incredibly annoying. It's no different in the church family. I will guarantee you will be annoyed, frustrated, disappointed, hurt by people who are your brothers and sisters in Christ. You will have every opportunity to get offended by them. You will have every opportunity to judge them, to think they should do that, they shouldn't do that. What sort of people are they? The enemy loves when we do that. But the reality is, Jesus is inviting us to live beyond that. He spoke about Jew and Gentile, slave and free, male and female, man, every end of the spectrum. He could have said Labour and Liberal and Green and One Nation and United Australia Party, all one in Christ if they're believers. He could have said wealthy and struggling. He could have said every colour or race or inclination, belief, What about those believers who are just the happy clappy ones? Or what about the ones who are very sedate and who contemplate? What about the ones who have a different set of beliefs about the return of Jesus? Or a different set of beliefs about what really, really matters in the Christian life? There's just a whole lot of, there's so many differences that we can focus on that bring division and bring the opportunity to judge and get offended. Paul is saying to the believers here, if you are in Christ, then you are actually one family. And if you're judging someone, you're actually judging a brother or sister in the body of Christ. I've felt really sad in this season to hear and see some of the commentary on Scott Morrison. Now, I don't know, I'm not presuming to know what your politics are, but Scott Morrison, I believe, is a brother or sister. Oh, not a sister. Jenny is a sister. Scott Morrison is a brother. We did not get the right to speak ill or to judge. We can say, I disagree with that policy or I disagree with that, that approach, but that's very different from saying, you know, this is a... Yeah, from making a judgment. We get to share eternity with people that are very different to us. So Jesus is inviting us to start now and to have love and unity as a hallmark, because he said it's that that makes Christians unique and distinctive. It's that, our love for each other, when we're different, that invites outsiders to say, look how those people love each other. You know, anyone can love people they agree with. The test of a whole society isn't how we like the people we agree with. It's how we like and love and respect the people that we're very different from and that we don't agree with. That's the hallmark that we're invited into as a church family. And I love that we have different political views here. I love that we have different theological views here. And is it uncomfortable sometimes? Yes, it is. Guess what? That brings up my prejudice, brings up my intolerance, brings up my, gosh, I wish they had thought like me. And that is an opportunity for God to change my heart. So three benefits of being part of the one family: we get God as our father, we get Jesus as our older brother, and we get a whole new set of fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, sons and daughters. I'm going to pray for us, because it is only the Spirit of Jesus who can actually empower us to love people like that. Humanly speaking, we cannot love people who are that different to us. And I love that Jesus, in his band of disciples, put together a zealot who's like a nationalist and a tax collector who's like a traitor. And he invited them to be his disciples, as far apart on the political spectrum as you could get. And he invited them to love one another. And he said to them, that's how people will know that you're my disciples, because it looks different in the family of God. So I felt like Jesus is here today and he wants to speak to three groups of people. He wants to speak to those of you who know him and are in him, but who still feel like you're outsiders and you don't belong to the family. He wants to remove lies and he wants to bring you into a place where you start to believe that you really do belong and that you have a gift and something to contribute. He wants to speak to those who maybe have never said yes to Jesus and joined the family. There's opportunity for you to do that today as well. And he wants to speak to those of us who need to repent of judging, excluding, of our prejudice, of our pride of the stuff that causes us to keep others at arm's length. Because the truth is, if we came in by faith in Jesus, so can everyone else. Everyone who believes in Jesus has a right to be part of this family. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your Spirit. Thank you that when we come in by faith to you, when we put on you, when we're baptized into you, we're given your Spirit, the Spirit of sonship, to know that we're loved children, to know that you, Jesus, are inviting us to belong and to be given grace to love even the ones that are more challenging in the family. So we're inviting you, Holy Spirit, to do what we can't do. We're inviting you to truly make us one so that the world will know that you, Jesus, are the truth. And so that we will be identifiable, we'll be known as your disciples by our love. Holy Spirit, we're just giving you a moment to work your way in our heart. Thanks for being part of what God's doing. Exciting to see the love and the unity flourish, because this is where God's placed us.